Vrindavan Mahima Amrita Ki Jai. Prabodhananda Saraswati Ki Jai. We're continuing to discuss these icebergs on the ocean of devotion. Because it's so cold, there's a lot of icebergs. So we have to be careful and pass by each iceberg and get to our safe harbor, the shelter of the lotus feet of Radharani. Now we're on text. So we did 49. No, we didn't do. Today we have 49. Chapter 15. Excuse me, chapter 13. 49. 462. Vrindavan Mahima Amrita. Stri bike na vashi kritashtri jagati prayo yasho lipsabo. Trishyante vishaya sprisho pi patita sangan mahantopihi. Budevam pratibudum ichasino chet swartam karastam tatas tatrahar nisham apramata rideo brindatavin avasa. Who in this material world is not under the control of women? It's often ironic point about the material world is they have these phrases, it's a man's world, men are in charge, men are the political leaders are primarily all men, the leaders of companies and industries and police and army and communications and everywhere, practically speaking, without exception, it's some man in every country of the world. There are sprinkling here and there of some female leaders, CM here, PM there. But the totality of the Earth's planet is maybe a 1/100 of 1% or 1/1000 of 1% of the leaders of anything, leading anything, business, governments, sports, etc., are women. So it seems quite obvious that it's a man's world. But he's saying, all these leaders, so-called leaders, who are in man's bodies, they themselves are under control of women. So actually, the real fact is it's a woman's world. The women are controlling. Men are controlling the world. Now, who's controlling the men? The women. So then who's actually controlling? That's the same point. When Narada Muni, he saw Brahma. He thought his father was supreme. He's the creator. Brahma's the creator of this universe. He's the creator of Narad, his son. And he's sitting there with his father on the top of the universe, looking at the whole thing in Satyaloka, Brahmaloka. And his father said, "See, son, this is my estate." Like some wealthy man, he goes to the rooftop palace of his king, King Jai Singh's son. "Son, look out in the valley. See this Rajasthan, this is all our kingdom, our kingdom of Jai Singh, of Jayapur." And the son would say, "Wow, Daddy, you're big." So Narada Muni, when he was on the palace rooftop with Brahma, and Brahma moved his arm across the universe and said, "Look, Narada, see this universe, it is all mine. It is our family property. I've created all of this." And then Narada Muni said, "Wow, Daddy, you're really big." And he started worshiping him. He said, "You are the biggest. You're the controller, the creator, and I'm your son, and we're living here in the palace, in the top of the whole universe. Everything's underneath us. Everybody's below us and underneath us. Tapaloka and Janaloka, Maharaloka, and Swargaloka and Swara and Boor and all these. They're all down there. All small fries." We're in the big time up here, me and my father. This is my universe. Like someone says, "This is my house." Like so many foolish husbands say, "This is my house. Whatever I say goes on here. If you don't like it, then just leave." It's a very common mantra in American families. Fathers telling their 18-year-old sons, "This is my house. You don't like it? Get your own place. You're old enough now. Get out." "Chai, Dad, I love you so much." So Brahma was the same idea. This is my universe. He's telling Narada. So Narada was worshipping him. Now one day he saw Brahma was off somewhere doing puja. And he saw his father, he was worshiping. He said, who are you worshiping? Who is that? What are you doing? Who is that? You're doing artik and ringing bells and singing mantras. Oh, this is Vishnu. I'm Big Daddy. But he's a really big daddy. he's my father. Huh? Narada Muni was astounded. What? Huh? Your father? You're the source. You're the source of me, everything. Whole creation, you're the creator. How is it? No, Vishnu, I'm born from his navel. And then it changed the whole picture. So that's the whole thing here. All the men think they're in control. But if you go and say, oh, you're the PM, CM, this, that, whatever you are, CEO and MD and managing director and chief executive officer and all this, then you go home and you see that his grandson, as Prabhupada tells the analogy, one man was waiting to meet the CEO, another big industrialist. And they said, oh, Mr. Smith is busy right now in a very important meeting. You have to wait. So this other big industrialist who wanted to do business with this steel factory man, steel manufacturer, he said, oh, he waited for some time. Then he looks through the keyhole. This is in the 1800s when they had keyholes. And this Mr. Smith was told to be in a very important high executive meeting. When he looked in the hole of the keyhole, he saw Mr. Smith was walking on the carpet of the office on all fours. And Mr. Smith's grandson was sitting on his back. And Mr. Smith had become horsey for the little grandson. So the grandson was, hurry up, faster, faster, father, faster, daddy, granddad, faster. So he's running around the carpet on his hands and legs like a horse. So the grandfather is controlling this entire steel factory with 10,000 employees and so much exports and crores of profits. And he's controlled by his grandson. So Prabhupada Saraswati is saying, men think they're in control, but actually, who in this material world is not under the control of women? It is often found that one who has no desire for fame, who has no attachment for material enjoyment, and who is known as a great personality, also falls down due to bad association. Despite knowing this fact and having received the goal of life within your hands, if you still do not wish to wake up, then simply reside in Vrindavan peacefully day and night. That's a very interesting translation. Let's look at the other translation here. 13, what is it? 49. In the three worlds, what men are not controlled by women? So it goes on, it's not just the earth planet. Even Indra is controlled by women. That's pretty obvious. They who are not controlled are mostly men. They who are not controlled by women are mostly men who hanker for fame. And Prabhupada often uses this description. He said there's two kinds of sex life. There's mithun and pratishtha. These are two kinds of sex life. Mithun, sex union with the opposite gender, and pratishtha means pratishtata or pratishtha asha. As is mentioned in Manashiksha by Raghunath Das Goswami, pratishtha asha. Asha, the desire, the hope for the intense desire for recognition, name, fame, honor, distinction, that satisfaction one hankers and works so hard to experience, that joy of being number one or being the best or being recognized or glorified and eulogized, that is a type of subtle sex life, mental sex life. He said there's gross sex life and subtle sex life. Gross sex life is mithun. And subtle sex life is pratishtha. Therefore, in Manashiksha, Raghunath Das Goswami addresses this this most poisonous enemy of bhakti, known as pratishtha. So he's saying most everyone in the three worlds is controlled by women, and somehow if they're not controlled by mithun, sex attachment and sex union desires, then they're controlled by desire for fame, which is another type of dancing pariah woman, another type of dancing prostitute in the mind that one wants to fame. They are not controlled, they are mostly men who hanker for fame, but some may be seen who are great saints, untouched by material desires, and whose company makes the material desires of others fall away. Quite a different translation. O intelligent reader, if you have no desire to awaken the material benefits that sleep in your hand, then with a peaceful heart reside day and night in Vrindavan. Much more clear understanding. The rather lengthy Sanskrit verse has been unraveled and deciphered in a rather more clearly understandable way. And I'm sure this one is in consonance with the actual Sanskrit words before us. Swartam karastam. Karastam. Karastam means in your hand. Is swarta, your goal is in your hand. Pratibodham vichasi. Swartam. Swartam. Your own goal is karastam, is situated in your hand. Day and night, harnisham. Don't fall into madness, whatever madness. Just stay. Take a vow to live in Vrindavan. So that's a nice point. That he's saying that everywhere people are controlled by women, pratishtha or mithun. So to avoid all that and become free from all those subtle and gross desires for sex life, then one should have sarusanga. Because whether you want pratishtha asha or mithun, in the association of sadhus, both of those are removed. Because sadhus are free from sex desire and free from the desire for profit, adoration, and distinction. Chinata pisuni chinatarori vasishana. Amanina amanidena kirtaniya sadhari. They rather run from such thing. They shun the limelight. They don't look for it. They're even hard to find, sadhus. Because they know that people want to exploit them for blessings, for removing obstacles. So they rather keep themselves hidden from the masses of selfish, insincere, materialistic people. So he's telling us, he's saying Bodha, this one verse is a Pratibodha, I believe it says, Pratibodham. Buddhaivam Pratibodham. Sangan Mahantau, Patita, Vishaya Sprisho, Drishyante Vishaya Sprisho. Don't see or touch your desires for sense gratification. And if you want to get your fallen person, if you associate Sangan Mahantau, if you associate with great Mahatmas, then you get lifted up from this fallen condition, Patita. Patit means fallen. Sangan Mahantau. Buddhaivam, be intelligent. Pratibodham, be extremely intelligent. Listen, be intelligent and seek that association. Don't avoid it. Rather run for it. Seek it out. And all these material benefits may be in your hand. Janmaishraya Shruti Shribir. You may have fantastic power to enjoy sex life or make money or to gain name and fame by your exploits and activities in the material world. But that's standing in your hand, karastan. That karastan, that's a poetic way of saying your karma, your prabdha karma. Sometimes they say the future is in your hands. They have phrases like that. The future is in your hands. Well, in Krishna consciousness, we can say, yes, our future is in our hands and our tongue. Our future is in our hands and our tongue because we take our hands and we hold on to the Tulsi Mala. And we use our tongues to chant the holy name. And then our future is bright. guaranteed, successful, all perfect, all happy. So this is the future's in our hands and our tongue. Keep the hands in the bead bag and the tongue moving in the Ma mantra and go back home, back to Godhead. That's the intelligent thing to do. O intelligent reader, if you have no desire to awaken the material benefits of sleep in your hand, Aharanisha. So these material, all these prabdha karmas, they're sleeping in our hand, they're sleeping in our chitta. Hand means another way of saying consciousness or chitta. So if you don't take association of sadhus, and then they will awaken. They have their time of awakening. Each material desire, each material benefit or material suffering has a time clock, has its own alarm clock, and it's ticking. Ta, 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 ta. And one goes off when you're 29, one goes off when you're 31 in 4 months, one goes one by one they go off and they sound their alarm. Bang, 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 bang. And then you have to deal with it. Put it on snooze. Put it on snooze, or try to wake up from it, or deal with it, or throw the alarm clock out, or smash it. Disarm it, take out the battery. Do something to make it stop. So the pravda keeps on ticking and keeps on, acting. So don't wake it up. Don't wake up a sleeping lion. Or a king. It could be dangerous. Either one could take your head. King will cut your head off and the lion will eat it. Put your head in his mouth. Eat it like a pakora. So this is a nice point. He said, with a peaceful heart reside day and night in Vrindavan. Aharanisha. And you can be peaceful when you live in Vrindavan. Don't wake up a lion. You'll be peaceful. If you wake up a lion, your life may take a different turn. There may be a little difficulty. So our prabdha is like sleeping lions. Sleeping lions of prabdha. So don't wake them up. Don't entertain them. Don't disturb them. There's vasana, and there's sanskara. So the vasana means that we associate with the objects which stimulate our samskaras. We associate with sense objects for which we have samskaras in our chitta, mental proclivities and conscious interest, which is lying dormant as a desire, a dormant desire in our chitta. So if we associate with the objects of the senses, men associate with women or women with men, or all the other objects, then that association stimulates it creates desire because we have an inclination for that object. So when an association with that object, then a vasana arises, a desire, because we have proclivity. So if you avoid the sense objects and don't see them and don't think about them, then there's no stimulation going to the consciousness storehouse, the chitta storehouse of material desires and inclinations from last life. And then no vasana can be rattled there, created there. Vasana means the rising of desire to enjoy something that's within us, which is a sanskara, a latent, dormant tendency carried over from last life. So he's saying don't wake them up and take shelter of two things. Take shelter of sadhus, who are always speaking Harikatha and chanting Maha Mantra, and take shelter of Vrindavan, Chintamani Bhumi. Because Vrindavan, you can find peace here. If you live in Vrindavan with sadhus, you'll be peaceful. Rupa Goswami says the same formula, a nectar instruction. Vraje tishtan anuragi anugami. He says you live in Vrindavan, Vraje tishtan anuragi, with any association with Anuragi Vaishnava, then you'll be peaceful. Why will you be peaceful? Because you will not be harassed by desires or vasanas, because you'll be purified step by step. Every step you take in Vrindavan, you get purified by hearing Harikatha from sadhus, worshipping and serving and walking through the Dham and visiting the holy places. So that's why he's saying confidently that you can be peaceful. But the peaceful heart reside day and night in Vrindavan. Maharanisham apramatak. Apramatak. Without any crazy heart. Apramatak ridaya. Day and night. Pramatak means completely intoxicated, completely crazy. Intoxicated heart, but he's saying, no, without it, it's gone. If you still do not wish to wake, this first translation is rather odd. There's another verse in this chapter we can read, verse 53. So many angles of speaking about the same thing, unlimited subject. Pamukshunam dhyata layamala maha buriyar vyapichitim hare rekhanti tam ahaha griha yatam digakarot nayayastam mukte ku kriter upavrinda tavi tada shayer dushtayas te jagati nahi namapi bhavita. Mamukshu, I said verses there in the Krishna Karnamrita by Vilmangala Thakur. Mukti Swayam Anjali Sevate Sman. He says that Mukti Swayam. Mukti Swayam means the personification of Mukti, the goddess of Mukti, Mukti Devi. Mukti is a goddess. Mukti Devi, this, she's Swayam. Mukti Swayam, then, Mukti Swayam Anjali Sevate Sman. Anjali means with folded hands. Mukti personified is standing before me with folding hands, waiting to serve me. Mukti Swayam Sevate Sman. So he's saying that Mumukshunam. Mumukshunam Yata Layamala Layamala Mahabuddhi Yarpicham. O personified liberation, you bring ruination to those who are desirous of liberation by awarding them the stool-like most harmful Sayuja Mukti, which means merging into the Brahman effulgence of the Lord. Have you approached the unalloyed devotees of the Supreme Lord? In other words, he's talking to Mukti Devi. Say, okay, Mukti, you can ruin the yogis, the gyanis and yogis who want Kaivalya, Sayuja Mukti, Brahma Sayuja, merge in Brahman. You ruined them because you, at least effectively, although not eternally, you ruined their individual identity. But, Mukti Devi, I'm going to warn you, if you approach the pure devotees of the Lord, they will immediately reject you. If you go and offer your services, listen, I've come to serve you. What do I need? Get lost. Mukti Devi, you're wicked. You cannot even come near Sri Vrindavan, because by taking shelter of Vrindavan, your name in this world will be vanquished. So this is another kind of woman, a little higher type here, not just the ordinary Banda Devi. This is Mukti Devi. You know Banda? Band Devi. B-A-N-D-H, Band. Band Devi. That's the Devi that binds everyone in the material world, Maya. But this is Mukti Devi. Mukti Devi offers liberation. Swarga Mukti. Take Swarga. Come, take Swarga. It's told in Brihad Bhagavatamritam that when Kumara was passing through the coverings of the universe, then Mukti Devi, personified as the Devi or goddess of each covering of the universe, came before him to offer him Mukti. Bhu Mukti and Vayu Mukti and different planets as he went up to solar system. So why don't you take, you can have the lordship of the whole earth. Have Lord, I'll give you the earth planet and I'll give you this and that. And he said, Mukti kept offering him different positions and he kept chanting his Gopal mantra, 10-syllable Gopal mantra. Clean Gopi Janavalavaya Swaha. And he just kept moving. And then he went and found Krishna in Goloka. He didn't want anything. The goddesses of different layers of the universe, the earth layer goddess, the whole earth layer. I'm not talking about Mother Bhumi, I'm talking about the earth. Earth layer goes around the whole universe. And that, and 10 times thicker than that, there's a water layer. And 10 times thicker than that, there's a fire layer. So those realms are very incredible realms of opulences. So then the Mukti Devi, and personified queen and Devi of each of those realms, is offering him, come on, you have so much tapabalam. You have so much tapabalam and so much punya and so much bhakti and mantra chanting and living in Vrindavan. You're born in Govardhan. And you're so detached. Why don't you stay here? Come on, enjoy. He said, no, thanks. And I'm a little busy right now. I'm going to Gopinath, to Gopal. So are you satisfied? Therefore you're wicked. You cannot even come near Sri Vrindavan. By taking shelter of Vrindavan, your name in this world will be vanquished. So outside of Vrindavan, or outside of the consciousness of worshipping Radha and Krishna, mukti is a very popular concept. It's the basic pivot point of the entire Vedic paradigm. The Vedic paradigm revolves about an objective, an art. And the swart, or the ultimate objective, is mukti, moksha. And everything else are stepping stones leading to that ultimate objective of the Vedic culture. Dharma, art, kam, moksha. That was the actual function of the Vedic paradigm, was to bring all the human beings to the point of moksha, gradually or rapidly, depending on their degree of surrender and taking shelter of the essence of Vedic culture, which is the service of the Supreme Lord Vishnu. So for the Vaishnavas, the devotees of Vishnu, Ram, and Krishna, mukti is, they have no care. They spit at the thought of mukti. Nadanam na janam na sundaram kavitam va jagadishakame mama janmani janmani shri bhavatad bhaktir hoite kitai. Birth after birth, doesn't matter. We just want to serve Krishna. Serving Krishna is liberation. Serving Krishna is a spiritual world. So what are you offering? Oh, I'll give you mukti. I'm already liberated. The Narayana Parat survey, the soul, the Vaishnavas are already liberated. So Mukti Devi comes. That's what he's saying. You come to Vrindavan, people say, your name will be worthless. He says, you can't even come near Vrindavan. Your name over here is like, in this evil world, be vanquished. If everybody takes shelter of Vrindavan, everyone takes shelter of the worship of Radha and Krishna, then mukti will become defunct. No one will be interested anymore in mukti. Bhakti will be the only thing. Tate nukampam sushi mikshamano banjana evatmana kritam vipakam ridvagvapubir viradan namaste jivetayo mukti pade sadayavak. So there that verse says mukti pade sadayavak. That if one, of course, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he wanted to change it to bhakti pade. He said, what is this mukti? We're followers of Lord Gauranga, worshippers of Radha and Krishna. Now I surrender to Gauranga. Mukti is, we cross out mukti. We don't care about mukti. So Brahma, this word, Brahma spoke about mukti pade in a Brahma Stuti in 10th canto, chapter 14 of Bhagavatam. This is wrong. We want to replace this word. And he crossed out mukti and put bhakti. And Lord Chaitanya said, what are you doing? You can't change the shastras like this, Sarvabhauma. You're a great acharya and a great pandit and guru. But don't you understand? You have to understand, what is the meaning? It's mukti. Mukti pade sadayavak. Mukti means Mukunda. It means to attain the feet of Mukunda in Vrindavan. This is mukti. That is the highest bhakti. Mukti pade means nothing but bhakti here. So don't cross out Mukunda. He has beautiful white shining teeth and perfectly shaped and effulgent and very attractive like Kunda flowers. He is Mukunda, whose mukha face is like brilliant, brilliantly smiling like Kunda flowers. Mukti pade sadayavak. Jivetiya mukti pade sadayavak. Sadayavak, that is his inheritance. The devotee who's always doing ridvagvapubir with his body, mind, and words, he's engaged in Hari Seva. Hari Seva, Guru Seva, Vaishnava Seva. That Jiva, that Jiveta, Muktipade, he's going to the pad, he's going to the feet of Mukunda, Mukunda Dham. He's a Mukunda Shrestha. He's Mukunda Shrestha because he tolerates and serves the Lord without cessation, without complaint. Oh, woe is me, I can't serve. I have a headache, I have a tail ache. I can't serve. So Mukti, he's saying, watch out, be careful, Mukti. Don't approach, if you approach the devotees that take shelter in Vrindavan, your name will be evil. Your name in this evil world will be vanquished. In other words, name means you. You are your name, the name is you. O impersonal liberation, you lead to complete annihilation. You lead to the complete annihilation, those who take shelter in you. Hari's pure devotees has only contempt for you. O forest of Vrindavan, they who in this world take shelter of you will not even utter the name of that terrible liberation. That terrible liberation means specifically, of course, Suyuja Mukti. That is considered terrible. Of the five forms, Mukti, that one is considered abominable and unacceptable by the Vaishnavas. But the Vaishnavas as a class will accept and rather even strive for, in some cases, the other four types of Vaishnav liberation or Mukti. Sarupya Mukti, to have the same form as Lord Vishnu and Vaikuntha, or Salokya, to live on his planet, or Sharshti, to have equal opulence as Vishnu, live in a big palace and have lots of servants and eat lots of chapan bhog and enjoy fine celestial music and have a beautiful consort, your wife, such influence. Like a mini god, you can live there with the Sharsti on the planet and have the form. But still, there is some difference between your godly divine form and the original form of Vishnu Godhead. And that difference is only minute. It's some hairs on the chest, a golden line on the chest representing Lakshmi, and some silver hairs curling to the left, which differentiate Vishnu Rupam, Vishnu, the Godhead, Vishnu, not Swayambhu, but God, Lord Vishnu, from this worshippers with the Sharsti, Sarupya, Salokya Mukti. So we're just speaking, just finishing this class on the Vrindavan Mahimamrita. He's saying how devotees take shelter in Vrindavan. They don't have any interest in Mukti. Mukti for them means bhakti. Mukti pade sadayabhak. That's what they inherit. They inherit. That's the wealth that awaits every devotee. Adayabhak. We have an inheritance. Something will come to us because the devotee never perishes. Even at the crucial time of death, when all the life errors are disturbed and it's intense pain that makes giving birth to children like nothing. It's so painful that men and women both must face leaving the body. At that time, Krishna will come and he'll give the inheritance. Oh, you're actually a Vaishnav, Krishna Bhakta. You're my son and you're my daughter. So you have a big inheritance waiting for you. You're coming to that place, that pada, that place where Mukunda lives. And you're a Mukunda Shrestha. You're a Mukunda Shrestha. You're very dear to Mukunda because you served Mukunda your entire life. So then, Mukti Pade Sadayabhak. Then Mukti Pade means you go to that place where Mukunda lives and all the Mukunda Shrestas live. So Mukti Pade means Bhakti Pade. The feet of Bhakti means the feet of Krishna, Vishnu, Ram in the spiritual world. So what did he say in this translation, in this verse 1353? We're discussing about so many verses he talks about women or Maya. But here he's talking about, because we've been hearing about basic sensual women of the material world as an obstacle for men, or men as an obstacle for women. And here he's saying, not only these women of this world, but even Mukti Devi, even this one, because I've included her in this discussion, even Mukti Devi for the Brijvasi Vaishnavas says, "Oh, impersonal liberation, you annihilate those who take shelter in you. A pure devotee has only contempt for you. Oh, forest of Vrindavan, they who in this world take shelter of you will not even utter the name of that terrible Suyuja Mukti." So we don't utter the name of that Mukti, we decry it. But the other four acceptable forms of Mukti, we have no interest in as Krishna devotees. As I often tell, the Brijvasis who are serving Radha and Krishna in this Vrindavan, Uppercut Vrindavan, when they die, they are burned on cow dung, or buffalo, whatever, gober. And why? And they're burned lying face down. Why? And they're burned, they point their head in a particular direction depending on where the Shamsan ground is located. But generally the head is supposed to be pointed towards the north. Head is pointed towards the north. And the body is lying face up and burned on irony wood or some type of special wood. And this is the prescribed ritual for the Yashti Sanskara of death, cremation, Shamsan. But in Vrindavan, they think, we don't want to go anywhere. We don't want to cash in on our tapabalam, take our chips to the window. In Las Vegas, you gamble and get chips, then you go to the window and they give you the money, chip money. We don't want to cash in our chips. We don't want a vacation in Swarga. We don't want to go to Chandra. Generally, pious religious people, they go to Chandra Loka. Swarga is that's not an easy thing to go to Swarga. Swarga means 100 ashwamedha yagyas and so many. That's why Indradev is a little concerned about people doing lots of ashwamedha yagyas. Or if you live for 100 births consecutively following Varnashram Dharma perfectly, you may go to Swarga. So Swarga is way up there. Swarga Mukti is not a joke. But Chandra Mukti is relatively within the hand of very pious religious persons. Because the Earth planet is very, moon is very close to the Earth planet. So generally, the pious religious people go there and live there for 10,000 years and come back again. So the devotees, Vrindavan devotees, they don't want to go to Chandra Loka or any Loka. Gandharva Mukti, Gandharva Lok, Gandharva Mukti, or Chandra Mukti, or even the most coveted Swarga Mukti. So they burn with their face down because they want to come back to Vrindavan. And they point their feet anywhere, but the main thing is they don't want to point their feet towards Radhakund, if the Shamsan ground is near there, or point their feet towards Govardhan, or any holy place, wherever the Shamsan ground is, and the body will be adjusted so that the head is pointed towards the holy place, not to the north, oftentimes south or west or whatever. And they're burned on gober or buffalo dung or whatever, rather than trees, which is the recommended and proper way to be burned. Why? Because all the trees in Vrindavan are kapha vriksha trees. And they don't want to cut any of these trees. These are all lila vrikshas, lila vriksh. And the gober is simply, there's no violence in the gober. It is simply the product of the cow. And it is pure. And they're gwalals, and they're brijvasis. And the gober is the brajaraj. They're born in this brajaraj. Their bodies are made of brajaraj. And their bodies are burned in brajaraj. Because cow dung is nothing but brajaraj. It's grass, it's dirt. A cow eats so much dirt when it eats the grass. We call dirt as brajaraj. So they're born in the brajaraj. They grow in the brajaraj. They breathe it, and then they're burned in the brajaraj. And they want, and their sankalpa is, I want to take birth here again to serve Radha and Krishna. Muktiya, wonderful. I have no interest. This is Vrindavan consciousness. This is pure bhakti. Vrindavan Mahimamrita ki jai.